Playboy, Playboy. Y'all already know what the fuck going on. Y'all already know what the fuck it is. Your boy Playboy Poppy, man. You tuned in to Jigsaw and Company. Yeah, tap in.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy Jigsaw Blue back with another episode of Jigsaw and Company, brought to you by Puzzle Me Entertainment. You can catch this podcast on just about every streaming service, Apple, Spotify. We starting to get on YouTube now. Radio Public, and also the Anchor FM app. So if you ain't got that, go download that. But if you on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube, make sure you go type in Jigsaw and Company and check out the latest episodes. This is my first episode being back. So, and it's a different one. We're doing a phone interview, and I like to give I don't know how I'm gonna lay it out for my guest, but just know he will put them hands to you if he have to. He can do that. How can I say this, man? MMA fighter, Cleveland baby beast mode, McLean, man. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, my man. What about yourself?
Man, I'm good, man. Well. I'm trying to stay positive in the time that we in right now, what we dealing with right now. So just trying to stay positive and, you know, keep my brothers uplifted.
That's all we can do at a time like this, man. All that negativity and stuff, man, it wears on you, man.
Yeah, it really does. And it really is really different, because I mean, I ain't gonna say it's so much different, but I think now that, you know, it's so much attention. I think this has more attention than Trayvon had, and I see so many people that we would call, you know, allies, that's really like stepping up and saying something. People that wouldn't normally say nothing on this type of subject.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. Like, yeah, other subjects like this really didn't affect me, but this subject right here, man, it's crazy. Like, this past week, like, I could just feel the weight, man. I could just feel the weight and everything from everything that's going on, bro. Like, I don't even get headaches or nothing. Like, yesterday I woke up with a headache, bro, and I'm pretty sure it's from all this negativity and shit.
Yeah, they say we have to monetize what we watch and what we adjust in our vision and our bodies, man, because like you said, it will, you know, in some way, shape, or form, it will show on you, whether it is a headache, a stomach ache, or something. Touching home with you or something? That's why it's so strongly on your soul, on your spirit?
It's like, I don't know if it's all the white people that's coming out that's so-called supposed to be my friend or stuff like that, how they don't believe in it, see it how I see it, like, that kind of stuff, like, really get to me, especially as me being a black man and I date outside my race. Mm-hmm. So shit like this just make me, like, rethink everything, like... I don't feel comfortable, but
yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but it's like, I don't know, man. They don't see the same views as us, like, so I don't know how to really explain it.
I feel you. They it's just some things that, you know, we not supposed, well, people not supposed to understand. That I don't know why, but that's just the way life is. But we're gonna move to a positive note. We're gonna talk about you, man. I knew of you growing up. I knew Keith. Shout out to Keith, your brother, little light skinned Keith. I knew that was your brother, but I didn't know you too well. So, like, you do MMA fighting. Where did that come from?
So this is exactly what happened, right? So I used to work at this gas station in Justin Wilkins. I know you know Justin Wilkins, right?
Right.
Right. So me and him used to wrestle together in high school. So So after high school, I was working at the gas station. Just kept telling me, like, yo, bro, I just found this MMA gym, man. I love it. You got to come and check it out. I think you'll like it, too. It's kind of like wrestling. I think you'll like it. He used to come there, like, all the time for, like, a good month or two. Like, bro, got to check it out. Got to check it out. I'm like, all right, man. I'm going to check it out. I went to one of his classes one day, bro, and I fell in love with it, and I stuck with it. I honestly just stuck with it and kept going at it. I was like, yo, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, and I'm making sure that this is what I do for the rest of my life.
That's dope, man. To see you actually find something, fall in love with it, and then continue to push for it. That's nothing but love, man. So how long you been doing it?
So I started when I was 20. So, 11 years?
Yeah, man. It seemed like it flew, right? I don't think
about it, man. Time flies by. It don't feel like it's been that long.
I just realized, like, how fast time flies, man. I just realized that my oldest son, he's 13 right now, and just like remember, like, damn, like in high school, he was, everybody knew him, and now everybody seen him. Oh man, we getting old, man. But for you to be like, do you feel like you at your peak, or you haven't reached your peak yet?
Nah, I haven't reached it yet. I think it's easier to reach your peak when you started at a very young age or something like that. When you're doing something like 20, 30 years, it's very hard for you to like evolve then, because you like know everything. But I'm still constantly learning new stuff.
So what type of style do you fight in?
I do more. I'm more of a striker, more kickboxing based. Kickboxing based. I'm more of a striker. So even though I wrestle in high school, a lot of people think that's weird.
So, how much does your wrestling background help you propel in your fights?
Oh, it helps a lot. Like a lot of people come to grappling or whatever, and they don't know how to grapple,
mm-hmm.
or don't know how to defend themselves. But you learn that aspect from wrestling. Even though it's not exactly like wrestling, it's kind of like rugby and football. They're not the same, but it's some stuff that you can bring back and forth. So if a rugby player gonna be better at football faster than somebody that never played football or rugby at all.
That's true.
Did that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. So was wrestling your first sport like that you like love doing, or was it something else that you had a love for?
My first sport I used to love was baseball, man.
Oh, wow.
I used to love baseball a lot, bro. I was in the 9th and 10th grade. I made the baseball team, but they would never play me, bro. They never played me. But I also played on like a junior team. Like, so after a high school basketball season, baseball season was over, I'm playing on a little recreational team.
Uh-huh.
One of the coaches like, dude, you're good, man. Why you didn't show none of this when you was in high school? And our team like, bro, you literally never played me. You never gave me a chance, bro. Like, so it's like, it's one of those things. Okay. But with wrestling, it's like, if you're in my weight class, I can earn that shit. There's no way around it. No coach can't be like, nah, I'm going to let him do it. Nah, there ain't no way around it. You're going to have wrestle-offs, and I'm going to beat your ass, and I'm going to win my spot. There's no other way around it. That's what made me gravitate more towards wrestling than baseball. I feel like baseball was more like politics.
Yeah, that's...
And wrestling wasn't.
Yeah, like, when you get into them, like them sports where you have to like some of them have their favorites, of course. You it's like you said, it's politics. You gotta do something to get into that spot. And I don't know if a lot of people like willing to, you know, sacrifice certain things just to, you know, get into that spot. Unless you, like I said, unless you play like multiple sports and then they already know what you can do. But man, I didn't know you played baseball, man. What position?
Yeah, I played baseball for second base.
Man, I did not know
that. I played it for Douglas Bird.
I did not know that. So you originally from Fayetteville?
Yeah.
So
I was born in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, but I was raised and everything in Fayetteville.
So how much of Fayetteville do you represent in your MMA fighting? Like how much? Because you know Fayetteville has a certain I don't want to use the word swag, but like you see how J. Cole carry himself, you see how Dennis Smith carry himself, and it's other people like Avion Crockett. He has a certain style where you know you be like, okay, yeah, he talk like that. That's Ville talk. So how much of Fayetteville do you, like come out of you at times?
I'm trying to figure out how to answer this question. Can you reword that question so I can understand that one better?
If
you ask me if I represent Fayetteville,
yeah, basically.
I do that. Yeah, I represent Fayetteville. You know, I always throw down my 2-6 and everything. Like, I always make sure everybody know I'm from Fayetteville. And, like, whenever I can, I always put it on my paper, like, when they say my name, and they say where I'm from, because they ask you, like, where are you from, your hometown, whatever. I always tell them to put Fayetteville, North Carolina, or whatever. And okay. I do. Yeah, I make sure everybody know.
Yeah. I know you get a, do you get a lot of love from back home, being that you fighting?
A little bit. I think I would get more love if I was still in Fayetteville.
Okay. So like how often do you travel? Like when you fight, like is it like? Cause I know certain places they is like that's their spot when they fight. Like there's they don't travel as much. So like when you like how many of your fights have you like had to travel outside of where you actually lived at?
Just about all my fights.
So
yeah, just about all my fights.
What was your favorite place?
My favorite city.
Yeah.
I say Bolivia, man. I went to what part of Bolivia did I go to? I think it was Santa Cruz.
Okay.
I think it was Santa Cruz. It was just wild over there. But just like it's wild over there, man. You have a lot of fun.
Okay. So all right, so we're about to get into your we about to get into your career, so we about to talk about from how you already talked about how you started. So talk to me about your first fight. Like, what was going through your mind? What was you expecting? And then after the fight, like, was it worse than what you expected, or was it better than what you expected? Take me through your first fight.
Okay. My first fight, I ended up having to fight Keith Howard. I think it was Keith Howard Sergeant, because he was like in the military or whatever, which was crazy for me. Like, when me and him fought, it was all blank, bro. It was my first fight. I didn't think about anything. All I knew is I had to keep it standing because my ground game wasn't that good. That's all I knew. Keep it standing, touch him a little bit, keep it standing, and try to finish the fight. And that's exactly what I did. I remember throwing the first punch. And take my ass down. I'm like, fuck. And I really didn't know how to get up. So my thing was like, yo, if I get taken down, I'm just going to grab him, hold him down so he can't punch me. And it looked like he's not doing anything. The ref would have stand it up. And that's what he did. And once we got back on the feet, I was able. The only thing I did not like about that fight, after the fight, I threw a bad kick.
Uh-huh.
When I threw a bad kick, I hit my foot, and I couldn't walk for like the next 2 days. Like, my brother literally had, after the fight, my brother literally had to like carry me to the car.
Oh, man.
But the feeling that you get from winning, bro, man.
I'm pretty sure.
Dude, that's like the greatest feeling ever, bro.
Man.
I don't think a lot of feelings beat that, man.
So if you could compare it to something, what could you compare it to?
I don't know. It's a high that you can't find anywhere else. It's a high that you cannot find anywhere else. It's like the ultimate high. Okay, it's like, okay, boom. It's kind of like you smoke a really good blunt, right? And that shit gets you like real good. It's like real good, bro. And he's like, damn, I gotta get back like that again. So it like makes you want to work harder just so you can get that feeling again, man. There's something about that feeling, bro. Getting your hands raised, like, no, you put all that work in and got that win.
I can only imagine, man. I can only imagine. So
you got
12 of those things, right?
Yeah.
So you know what it's like, 12 of them. So, all right, so that was your first fight. So what fight did you feel like, okay, I'm getting in my groove type thing? Where you was like, I'm really feeling it now.
It would be like four fights ago, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm really in my groove. And I start like, you start training, like once you like start training with high level guys, like say if you go, like you play basketball or something,
uh-huh.
You know you're good. But once you start training with Kobe, and you hang with Kobe, then you're like, damn, I'm better than what I thought I was. Just that alone gives you more confidence. And like, I had opportunities to work with better people. And me saying I can hang with these better people that's at the highest level, that just gives me confidence. Like, yo, I'm like, these guys are not on my level.
So, okay, so your first fight, you said about four fights ago, was where you feel like you was in your groove. Now, are you currently on a two-win win streak?
Yeah.
So, talk to me about your last fight that you, because you ended that with a knee and the dude was stiff. Am I correct?
Say it again?
You end a fight with a knee to the dude face?
Yes, sir.
And he, homie was stiff as hell. I can't imagine that. So walk me through like that last minute. Well, if you can, because I know sometimes y'all just be in a zone where y'all just going. If you can, walk me through that up into the knee. How you feel like the fight was going?
Like, so I felt the fight was going my way the whole time. Cause I was supposed to fight the guy before, but he pulled out, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like, okay, I'm fighting the guy and like, he's holding me against the cage. Like, cause I know he's a wrestler, so I know he want to hold me against the cage and take me down. He's holding me against the cage and I move him off and I'm trying to clinch him. Cause I want to clinch him so I can elbow him. Cause that's my thing. I wanted to catch him with the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to try to like cut his face or something. So I was trying to catch him with the elbow. For some reason, bro, he had a ball in his head, man. His head was so slippery, bro. I could not grip it, man. And it just happened when I threw the combination. If you notice, at first, I wasn't going to throw the knee because I just didn't throw it right. It's like when he was about to go for the takedown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I threw the knee because I wasn't going to throw the knee at first. I just adapted. As I seen him do it. It wasn't like, all right, I'm going to throw this. overhand and I'm going to throw this knee. I was just going to throw the overhand, then I see how he react, then that's when I was going to do something else. He reacted, then he was about to go for a takedown. I just threw the knee. And it landed.
Yes, it did land. Oh, man. I was, because I remember watching it on Facebook at first, but then when I was watching it just to do my research, like, I just can't imagine. Like, I play UFC, and that even cringed me up sometimes. I ain't gonna lie. I can't, like, what do you do? Like, what can you do in that type of, like, situation? As far as like getting knee to the face and you stiff up like that, I wouldn't even know how to.
Yeah, you can't do nothing. Like, the only thing you can try to avoid is not getting knee, so that won't happen. Or try not to get punched, so you won't get laid out clean.
Man, so would you say that was your best fight?
Oh yeah, that was definitely my best finish. Of course, yeah, that definitely got to be the best one. For today, yeah, dude, I made it on ESPN's Sports Center Snapchat, bro. On top plays for the week, I made top 5 type plays for the week. So that really got to me.
So, being that it made it on ESPN Snap, how did that make you feel? Because I know, like, that any, like, that will probably be like a more of a confident booster. So, talk to me about how you felt when you seen it. Like, who told you?
Keith sent it to me because one of his military friends screenshotted and sent it to him. When I saw that, bro, that was unreal for me, man. That was unreal for me when I seen that. That made my night.
Yeah. So that's a nice achievement. Like,
all right. So like this one made everything better, right? Uh-huh. So like, I literally like, so I was working and I was training, whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
So I told myself, like, yo, I'm just gonna dive head first. It's just MMA or nothing, bro. It's MMA or nothing. I literally quit my job 2 weeks before that fight. So then I do that. That really was like, okay, I made the right decision.
The hard work pays off, man.
Yes, sir.
When you dedicate, like, that's one thing I feel like this generation don't understand. And like, when you have a dream, you have to. I ain't saying you have to stop working. Some people, you know, it happens for some people. Sometimes it don't. It don't work out, but. You have to put that work in. You have to put that time into that craft, because I'm pretty sure you spent hours and hours and hours on that mat, just learning different ways to get out of moves or how to learn to do a new move. If you can estimate how many hours you put on the mat, how many hours you think you put in? As far as like training and practicing,
that's crazy. Oh man, I definitely did. I know I did over that 10,000 mark, man. You know, they always say you got to do 10,000. That 10,000 hours or 10,000. You got to do it 10,000 times before you perfected it.
Yeah.
Dude, I know I did more than 10,000 hours.
And right now, like I said, it's showing in your craft, man. Like I said, you on a 2-win streak, and like I said, you moving up in the ranks, because you got a fight on UFC Pass, the streaming service, right?
Yes, sir.
On the 26th of this month. Like, when you got that offer, walk me through that time when that fight was offered to you and you found out that was going to be on the UFC streaming service.
Okay, yeah, the promotion hit me up and asked me if I want to fight or whatever. You know, we talk about the details and everything. then they tell me that there's not gonna be no fans, which I think that's up. No fans or nothing. And they're gonna be on, and it's gonna be on UFC Fight Pass, which I like. It's gonna be a UFC Fight Pass, and I feel like more eyes is gonna be on it now. More eyes are gonna be on it since nobody else got anything else to do. Like, there's not really no other sports doing anything right now, so that's, I feel true, like a lot of people gonna tune in. So I really have to showcase my skills.
Yeah, I see. I seen when you said you gotta put your all into this.
Yeah,
cause this is what you fighting for, man. This is what you, like you said, you quit your job like to do this. So I hope, like, so I know you gonna show.
I'm literally. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
I said I know you gonna show out.
Yeah, got to, bro. I'm literally like one fight away from changing my whole life, bro. I'm right there, so man, I can't. There ain't no fucking up now.
So, what challenges did you come across to get to where you're at now?
What challenges, bro? So many challenges, man. But I think, okay, I will say this for anybody that's listening to this. You don't have to move to a big city, or you do not have to move to a big gym to get good, which was one of my mistakes. I felt like I had to move to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the gym and everything, but it wasn't what I thought, though. It wasn't what I thought. Even though, like, Fayetteville, the gyms wasn't as big, I got more hands-on. So I was getting more hands-on, so I felt like I was learning things. And another thing is, find a good head coach that actually want to put their time into this. You will get a lot of head coaches that just want to get paid, man. And they'll just send you in there. Don't care about your career, man. That's another thing, bro. You got to find a good coach, man.
So, how many coaches have you had since you've been fighting, since you got out of the amateurs? How many coaches have you had since then?
Two. Yeah. I was going to America Top Team Longwood for a while, and until one day my coach told me he didn't have the time to put into me, whatever, to put in me anymore.
Is that,
so I had to go to another gym.
Is that like a personal thing, like with them, or is it like this coach has this fighter, this coach, he has like multiple fighters, or it's just BS with some of these coaches?
How can I put this? Which I understand, because like I understand, we talk and he explained everything. Like he wanted to put all his time into his son, because they like played baseball or whatever. So he wanted to put that time into his son.
Okay.
Because he said when he was doing MMA, he wasn't able to put so much time into his kids because he had to worry about his career. Okay. So just now that he's not really doing MMA, so he can put the time into his kids, which I understood that completely, bro. I'm not, it took me away from him.
Right. Cause like I said, I didn't know how. Cause from my opinion, well, what I thought was that, you know, they had trainers, and you know they didn't, like, I didn't know they had coaches or whatever. Because I thought they just go train on their own, and then they probably have a team that might like, okay, you fighting this person ought to do this, so we got you trainers that. Know how to do this or how to defend it. I didn't know they had like head coaches that be, so the coaches be at the like at the fight and saying like, yo, you know, this is what you need to work on, and this and the fourth.
Say that one more time. You broke up a little bit. Sorry about that.
My fault.
Yeah,
I was talking about, as far as like, I didn't know that the coach that y'all had coaches, like head coaches. I thought it was just like y'all trained on your own, and y'all have a team of trainers. So like, what does a head coach actually do?
The head coach do any. It depends on who the head coach is, but the head coach could do anything from getting you fights, watching you train, make sure you're getting the right training in, make sure you're getting the right people to train with, so you have the right training partners to get ready for the fight. Old mitts and stuff like that.
Okay. So, walk me through, like, your daily routine as you getting ready to train. You're preparing for a fight. Like, what do you do as far as, like, your daily routine?
Okay. Well, we have training. We have a MMA class for like basically MMA fighters every morning at the time varies. The time sometimes it's 10 o'clock, sometimes it's 11, it depends on which day it is. I usually do that when I come back home. I usually come back home, eat stuff like that, and I have to train again at night. Now that I'm not working nowhere, I'm training like 4 or 5 hours a day.
Okay. What's your favorite part about training?
Talking shit. Honestly. That's the fun part, man. Not like in a bad way. Just like, you know, like my thing is like, if I like talking shit, but yeah. I don't talk shit like in a bad way. Like if I know somebody's good, if I know somebody's a good grappler and I got to go work with them, they like, I'm like, man, you ain't gonna hold me down, type shit like that. And then if I get up, I'm like, yeah, I told you you ain't gonna hold me down. And then if they do hold me down, I'm like, all right, yeah, you got me, stuff like that, Now, that's the kind of shit I like to do. That makes training practice fun for me.
So, if you could train with any MMA fighter or UFC fighter, Who would you want to train with?
Demetrius Johnson. Used to be the UFC flyweight champion. Now he fights for ONE FC. I think he's a champion there now.
Okay.
But yeah, I think he's like. For the longest time, pound for pound, he was top 2 pound for pound. I think he's still like top 2 pound for pound fighter.
Who's the best UFC fighter that you you've seen?
In person or just like watching fights?
Just like watching fights.
Oh, man.
Who do you consider? Well, that's two different questions. Yeah. Who's the best fighter that you've seen, and who do you feel like is the UFC GOAT? Or can there be a UFC GOAT? That's a good question to ask.
Oh, see, I think that's a tough one right there. Yeah. That's a tough one. I don't think there can be a UFC GOAT, man. I don't think there's so many people that's good.
Right. I mean, but, like, you
but
can...
If anything, I have to get rid of Demetri Johnson again, bro. He's defending his belt like 11 times in a row.
Damn.
Bro, he did a move, man. He grabbed the guy from the back, picked him up, about to slam him. Before he hit the ground, he put him in an arm bar, bro.
Wow. I know the arm bar.
To do that to somebody in a title fight, that's supposed to be like, it wasn't just some scrub. This supposed to be the person that's the next best thing right here in this weight class. Will you do that to him? Like, damn, man.
Wow. So who, like, would that, is that your dream fight?
Yeah, I would love to fight him. I would just love to meet him in general. I don't know how I would feel about fighting him because I like watching him fight and stuff like that so much.
So besides Demetrius, like if you had a dream fight, who would your dream fight be?
My dream fight was here in Cejudo, but he just retired, so I really don't have him no more.
Oh wow.
It was either him or TJ Dillashaw, and TJ Dillashaw got suspended for taking steroids. Damn. So I was, man, I don't want to fight him no more. And I wanted to fight Harrison Newell because, like, they say he's like one of the best. I just like challenging myself, man.
I see. I'm hearing that you always want the best to see, because that's the only way you're gonna see if how far you can go is if you fight and playing against the best. So who do you look up to? And it don't matter if it's UFC, some type of family member or any other athlete. Like who motivates you? Or that gets you going?
My mom motivates me a lot. Just, you know, just seeing like where she started and where she at now.
How did she feel about you doing MMA?
She really didn't care too much at first. And then she seen I was serious about it. She been all in ever since.
That's dope, man. Like,
I think that's just one of the things, man. You just have to. You got to show. Sometimes, and I don't see anything wrong that. Sometimes you just have to show people you're serious about it, man. Then people start helping you and start supporting you. All kinds of things. Sometimes you have to show them. Some people are just gonna take your word from them. You have to show them that, like, yo, I'm serious about this.
Yeah, you got to.
That's what I want to do.
You got to invest in yourself, man. Because I be telling my music friends that, like, you have to invest in yourself. If you don't invest in yourself, why would somebody else invest in you if you're not gonna do it?
Yeah, exactly. And another thing I heard was E.T. the preacher, sorry, E.T. the rap preacher. I think that's what he said. What did he say? Damn, I just had it too. It just went off my mind. Sorry, bro. My mind just went blank.
You good, man. You know, we getting up there in age, man. It happens.
Okay. It just came back to me. Like he said, it's your dream. It's your dream, not somebody else's. So you can't expect somebody else to invest in your dream or want to help you in your dream, because it's your dream. So you have to do all that stuff yourself.
That's true.
First, that's before true. Before other people could jump in and start with, all right, I got you.
That is absolutely right. I can't stress that. I'll be I can't tell my music friends that enough. Like, yeah, you know, because you, like I said, you always gonna have your friends that's gonna support your dreams, but after a while, they'll be like, dang, you know, you always said, you know, you want to do this, but dang, you know, if you ain't doing this, so why should I support it? You know.
Yeah.
But that's cool that your mom like got behind you. You know, as you know, when you did it, because you know, as far as like mothers, when it comes to like something that could hurt you. They not with it. So that's why I was like, I was kind of like shocked that she was with it. Because that, boy, I don't know if I can take just get punched in the face just for, I ain't going to say for fun, but for sport. It's, I guess it's like a, like you said.
Bro, I got good head movement, man. I just don't get punched in the face, man. Oh, man, I honestly, how people do it. I don't know. I have good head movement. That was like one of the first things I learned was head movement because I don't like being punched. Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Like, my mom, like, it was crazy. Like, I had a fight in Canada.
And like she was upset she couldn't go because she didn't have her passport at the time. Oh man, I know
that would have been real special.
Yeah. So what do you wish you known when you started out this MMA journey?
What I wish I known. That's a good one.
I would say
the only thing I would say is which is hard for me and I could never do it is if you want to pick your fights. At least like your first couple fights, and I just couldn't see myself doing it. But that's what you want to do.
So you didn't get to pick your first fights when you first started out?
No. What I mean by pick your fights wisely. Like,
oh, okay. I got you.
Like, for me, like my thing is, I want to fight the best, like, to test my skills. So, from the jump, I was trying to fight the best.
Oh, okay. So, you mean, like, you wish you would have, like, strategized more versus just...
Exactly.
Okay, I got you.
Like, all right, at first, your first two or three fights, but don't fight guys that's, like, you know, more experienced than you. Fight guys that's on your level and stuff like that.
Just so you can get a feel of it.
Yeah. It's just so you get a feel of everything.
Yeah. I can see that. Because like I said, you fight somebody you want to. I ain't saying everybody needs to or want to lose, but I think you gotta have that loss so you know how it feels to lose and then you know how to maneuver after that.
That's very true. Some people don't bounce back well off a loss.
That is true. Or like when they back against the ropes and they, you know, they never been like how when Golden State was winning so much by beating teams by like 30, 40 points, they never had a closeout game. So when it did come to close out, they didn't know how to adjust to that. Or they didn't have no closer. So, I feel like everybody should lose at least one time so they know how it feels.
Oh, yeah.
Man, so...
But that's the only thing I'm like, dang, I wish. But other than that, everything else is great.
So, what would you say is your greatest achievement today? You've been fighting 11 years.
My greatest achievement and fighting, probably my last win, my last knockout. I never got a knockout like that before. That's the best finish ever had.
I would say that for me too. If that was me, I ain't gonna lie. I'm showing that shit all the time. Y'all see what I did, man? These knees crucial, my brother. That's what's up, man. Like I said, just to see you, you know, grow into your craft, it's beautiful, man. Because, like, I do remember when they told me that you was fighting, and I was like, that that's different because, you know, the only thing you only hear is like, oh, you know, my nigga doing music. You know, I got some friends that acted that I love, that I support and whatnot. But like I say, just as, you know, here I say, oh, you know, Cleveland, yeah, he fighting. And then, you know, like then you seen the knockout that moving your way up, man. Like,
I'm trying.
Proud of that, man. I can't stress that
thank
enough.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, man, I'm going to ask one more question. 2020 been crazy as hell. Like, everybody been saying that 2020 is supposed to be the year. If 2020 was a celebrity, who would it be?
Ooh, if it was a celebrity... that's supposed to be good. That wasn't good. Oh, I gotta think. Let me think. I'm gonna go with Adam Sandler. I'm only saying that because of that last movie you just put on Netflix. That shit was supposed to be good. When you watched that movie, it was not good.
You talking about the Uncut Gems joint?
Yeah. I did not like the ending, man.
Yeah. If like you said, if that's 2020, I hope 2020 end just like that. Just go ahead and take it out. Man. Well, like I said, I appreciate you hopping on, man. Taking the time out. I wish you nothing but the best, nothing but blessings. You on your way, man. Strongly on your way.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you taking your time out today to do the podcast with me, man. Honestly.
Of course.
It made my day. I appreciate this, honestly.
So, once again, your fight is June 26th. Is it a certain time that it's going to come on, or is it just going to be...
I don't know exactly what time I'm supposed to fight, but the whole card is going to start at 8 o'clock.
So if you can, go and get that UFC streaming, and you check out my man's put the paw. Who you fighting?
This dude named Victor Diaz. He's a Brazilian guy.
Well, watch my man's put these hands on Victor. Real Fayetteville style. June 26th, 8 o'clock on the UFC Pass. Man, like I said, blessed to you, man. Give them your social media, man, so they can follow you.
My Instagram is BBM_chasing_greatness26.
Hey, man. I'm ready to see
you on Facebook. Facebook, Cleveland McClain. You can find me on Facebook. I really don't do some Snapchat there, really.
Well, I most definitely will put your IG. Your IG name is going to be the title of the episode, so they be able to find you. But like I said, bro, I really appreciate you doing this. Nothing but blessings to you and to your future. I hope your next fight is a knockout first round.
Yes, sir. That's the game plan.
That's what I need. That's what I'm hoping for. But as y'all know, this is Jigsaw & Company, brought to you by Puzzle Me Entertainment. We drop every Wednesday. Apple Podcast, Spotify. We jumping on that YouTube. And if you haven't got it, you need to go get that Anchor FM app on the Google Play Store and the App Store for iPhones. Check us out every Wednesday, man. This your boy Jigsaw, and I'm out, man. Yo, what's good? This your boy Jigsaw Blue, host of Jigsaw & Company. But this is not about me. This is me showing love to my peoples. Shout outs to Marley at THSH Radio. It's on all streaming platforms that have podcasts. Y'all need to go support him, subscribe to his podcast, and shout out to BJ the Best, Cab 229. He's out there working, working, working. Y'all need to get out there, support his podcast, subscribe to his, do this for the love. If you ain't supporting your friends, I don't know what you're doing. Yo, please subscribe to these podcasts. Cab 229 with BJ the Best, THSH Radio with my homie Marley on all streaming platforms, Google Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Apple Podcasts. And if you haven't, you should download the Anchor app so you can get that exclusive real quick. And also, Jigsaw and Company is on them streaming platforms as well. So subscribe, support, and let's get it in.